健康、时尚、美食、出行，尽在衣食住行。
每周五晚9:30，请锁定 AM 1150西雅图中文电台。
观众朋友大家好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周五的专家论坛节目，我是程曦。今天我们有幸请到了 Adam Elner。 Adam 是环境保护咨询组织 Full Cycle Environment 的项目经理，也是 Renton 市 Shift Green 项目的负责人之一。他在循环经济和社区领导利益并且进行环保活动方面很有经验。Adam, should you introduce yourself first and we can get started?
Sure, yeah. Hello, everyone, and thanks for having me, Thomas. My name is Adam Elner. I'm an environmental consultant with Full Circle Environmental. And among many of the projects I'm working on, I'm working with the city of Renton on their Shift Green program, as I believe you mentioned, Thomas.
Yes, thank you.今天的节目有点特殊，是因为 Adam 是一个英语的 native speaker， 但是同时我们会尽量用中文去翻译他说的话，然后给大家一个学习的机会，同时也可以让 Adam 用他比较熟悉的方式介绍他的工作。他刚说的是他自己是这个 environmental consulting agency Full Circle Environment 的项目经理，具体来说他在 Renton 是做这个 Shift Green 的项目。我们来问一下 Shift Green 是一个什么样的项目。So can you tell us a little bit about your background and then how you became interested in sustainability and maybe talk a little bit about Shift Green as well?
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Seattle, spending lots of time in the environment, hiking, riding my bike, foraging for mushrooms, things like that, and really getting a nice appreciation for our beautiful natural surroundings. And that led me to study environmental science in college.
Adam 说他从小就比较喜欢跟自然有关的事情，从小他就会去野外去捡蘑菇，去在野外去做徒步。那他在大学里面学的专业也是环境工程。So where did you go to college? And then what has that been for you?
Yeah, sorry. I went to Stanford University, so the former Pac-12 rival, I guess, of UW.And that was a really great experience, being there to get my undergraduate degree and master's degree. And I did a lot of teaching when I was there as well, teaching the introductory environmental science, course.
Adam 说他之前是去了斯坦福大学，这是一个很有名的大学啦。然后同时他也是在橄榄球界跟我的母校华盛顿大学 UW 是竞争对手，他们都在这个 Pac-12 联盟里面，之前有过在橄榄球方面的很多的竞争。然后他之前在环境工程专业学到了很多，然后自己也对于教学方面非常感兴趣，对环境方面怎么样去教别人有一些自己的心得。That sounds super cool. Can you walk us through your career journey then? Because we now know that you work for Full Circle. It is consulting, but I guess you have had a lot of other posts before this that is environmental sustainability related. Just walk us through that.
Yeah, sure.So graduating from college, I never thought I would go into private sector. I was always very interested in public sector work. And I had done a variety of summer internships related to recycling and waste reduction, and really sustainability kind of in the context of a city and how cities work. And that's something that I grew to be very interested in, things like transportation, urban design,And that led me to this interest in recycling and the circular economy.
Adam 说他从小其实根本就没有想过自己要进入企业工作，他一直是对于公共领域或者说公共社区服务这种公共事务比较感兴趣。那他之前一直觉得自己会进入比如说像城市设计啊，或者说像城市景观设计，以及跟城市环境有关的一些方面进行发展。他之前也参加过很多这种夏季的实习，自己了解过很多不同领域。So tell us about some of the internship that you have been with and then how your interest in city planning, urban design has been evolving around this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one that was very influential early on after my freshman yearwas working for Waste Management, which is a big recycling garbage collection company, you know. And I was kind of an outreach and education intern with them for one summer. And that involved talking to a lot of different people, going door to door at multifamily properties, calling businesses on the phone, and basically just having a bunch of different conversations about recycling and learning about what people care about and what people think and what motivates them kind of in this space.
What was the intention of the outreach? Was it to educate them or to ask for their feedback about the service, or is it just to get them engaged in the cause?
Yeah, it was mostly getting them engaged, I think. It really depended. It was mostly a program that Waste Management was doing on behalf of the governments, kind of as part of their contract to haul the garbage for this city. They would say, okay, as part of this, we're going to give back to the community by offering this outreach, you know, to multifamily businesses, or we're going to staff information table at the community festival over the summer. And so then the interns like me would show up and basically just try and engage people about recycling, answer their questions and things like that.
Got it. 所以 Adam 刚刚说他的实习经历的开始其实上来自于是 Waste Management, 就是 WM, 就是在美国的一个很家喻户晓的一个废物回收或者说可回收垃圾处理的一个这样的一个公司。他当时做的事情是去敲各家各户的门，然后跟这些居民去聊关于回收垃圾以及循环经济的一些事情。那在这个过程中，他第一锻炼自己的沟通能力，然后有很多这种跟不同的社区层面的人去交流的经历。最大的对这个公司最大来说，他们首先承包了这个城市的垃圾运送和回收的服务的同时，也做出了一个承诺，就是说我们要给这个社区提供一些关于垃圾回收的一些教育的工作。那 Adam 当时就做的是这些方面的一些社区拓展，以及和大家一起来建立这个社区关系的这样的一个实习项目。Now you are working full time now, no longer interns, and then you have been in education. I guess, you know, some other things happened in the middle, kind of, you know, branched through multiple places, and now you're working in consulting and Shift Green. Can you just kind of just help us to move along the way a little bit, and then help us understand how did other things also led to what you're doing now with Renton, City of Renton?
Sure. Yeah. Along the way, I had other internships working in Seattle for a nonprofit housing developer, Capitol Hill Housing, working on a specific project there to try and encourage more recycling practices and create like a recycling champions program. I did some work on campus with the Office of Sustainability and with their recycling management there, to try and improve recycling at their cafes, at their sports venues, in the academic buildings, a variety of different things, kind of more on the operational side of things. And then after graduating, I volunteered for a while at another organization called Zero Waste Washington, doing some research on a big report that they put out related to kind of repair and reuse businesses in Washington and the benefits that they provide as it relates to reducing waste.
Adam 其实他经历很丰富，他之后在Waste Management 之后，他又去了一个提供像这些可负担的相对比较便宜的这种廉租房的这样的一个组织，去帮他们进行一些回收垃圾方面的一些社区建设，可能应该是教这些居民怎么样可以更好的回收。在之后他又继续在这个社区服务以及公共服务领域，在一家叫做 Zero Waste Washington 的一个组织，也是一个我想应该是一个非盈利组织 non-profit, 去帮他们做一些在回收以及复用方面的一些社区拓展。那其实一直都是整一个 Adam 的旅程都是在这个可回收或者说循环经济的这个领域。So it probably helped you to see a lot of, I guess, how different walks of, you know, life and then towards, the, you know, different parts of the society look at this issue, look at this idea. You know, some may be having relatively, warmer attitude. Some may be hard for them to accept it, or some may be, you know, raising their, you know, living cost. How do you think that aspect has been, impacting you? Like, what was your learning through this process?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a really good question because, yeah, through all these different internships and through all the projects that I'm currently working on now, I'm talking with all kinds of different people, as you say, both in the business context and in the residential context. And that's the thing about garbage. It comes from everywhere and it affects it. Well, it might not affect everyone, but everyone produces garbage. Right. And so in one way or another, you're able to have these conversations with people. And so that's what's interesting about my job is figuring out what they care about and what kind of gets them talking and gets them going as it relates to garbage and recycling and the materials that they interact
with. Adam 说对他来说的的确确在每次和不同的社群里面的不同的人去做交往的时候，大家都会对于回收或者说循环经济这个概念有不同的看法，而且大家的收入水平不一样，社会阶层不一样，可能经常都会有不同的态度。那对于他来说，其实很大的一个动机或者一个工作上的重点，就是怎么样可以让大家敞开心扉来聊自己对于这件事情的看法，以及究竟是在这个过程中什么是对他们重要的。我想这个里面一定有一些不是那么容易的事情啊。Now let's talk about.I guess a more personal side of this. You know, you went to Stanford, one of the top elite schools, you know, among the Silicon Valley, great industry, great place to kind of start a lot of cool things with either startups, business around, but you choose to pick this area where, you know, I feel like I'm not as, probably I don't understand this industry well enough to say whether there is a profitable industry yet, but,It sounds to me that it's not considered as like a traditionally glamorous industry. What was your, I guess, internal dialogue with yourself like among this? Or have you ever considered, hey, do I really want to be in this long term? Like what's in this for you? And especially considering your surroundings and, you know, where Seattle and Silicon Valley has been like in terms of career developments, major trends.
Yeah, that's also a good question. I also want to compliment your memory because you're doing a great job of remembering all the things I'm saying in these long responses and then translating it all. So that's awesome. Yeah, so I have this kind of personal philosophy that I've always had when thinking about the kind of work that I want to do because I've always wanted to do something that improves the natural world around me or the communities around me and makes them healthier, more sustainable, more green in some way. So I knew I wanted to do that coming out of college. I was, I think, one of the 2% of students who never took a computer science class at Stanford. And so that was a world that just never really interested me. And I've never been super motivated by, you know, the need to make a lot of money or achieve high status. It was more about how I can make an impact on those around me, both people and the natural environment. And that's also why I chose to move back home to Seattle, because I think having come from here and having some more place-based knowledge really helps be an effective, positive change maker in that way. I wouldn't want to go to a different place and tell them what they should be doing or what's good for them in that sense.
我刚问 Adam 说，其实垃圾产业或者说回收产业并不是一个很光鲜的产业，里面有很多这种，无论是我们传统上认为说可能有些脏乱差的地方，还是说他的收入各方面可能比起他能够从斯坦福毕业去做一些，比如说计算机相关的领域，可能是不是会是一条更艰难的路？他说他其实从来就没有对赚大钱特别感兴趣，特别是他是在斯坦福少有的2%的学生是从来没有上过计算机相关的课程，所以他是一个绝对的一个少数派。那同时他自己也觉得他一直都觉得想要通过对环境做一些事情这种方式来展现自己的个人的影响力，同时去改变一些社区里面的现状。同时他也觉得回到西雅图去了解当地的这种状况以及他自己的对于本地的认知，其实是会帮助他在这件事情上做出影响力的。
This is 1150 AM KKNW Seattle and KPNW 98.9 FM HD3 Seattle.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Chinese Radio Seattle.
生生有情
1150AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM98.9 Channel 3。
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
你的健康保险是否涵盖最新的 COVID-19 疫苗？如果没有健保该怎么办？别担心，没有健保的成人和儿童都能通过政府的计划免费接种最新疫苗。绝大多数的私人健保 Medicare、Medicaid、TRICARE 或 CHIP 儿童健保计划也涵盖免费的 COVID-19 疫苗。请浏览 vaccines.gov 或致电1-800-525-0127并按井字键了解详情。本广告与华盛顿州卫生部合作。
骗子以假装提供帮助的方式对人们实施诈骗，致使个人财产遭受重大损失。最开始以常规通话的形式提示您的账户存在欺诈行为，但很快语气变得非常严肃。他们声称您的账户或退休账户资金存在风险，您必须将资金转移至安全账户。这是诈骗，请勿将资金转移或转账至安全账户。凡是让您转移资金的都是骗子。如果您将资金转移至安全账户，您的资金将遭受损失。详情请访问 ftc.gov/languages/chinese。
观众朋友大家好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周五的专家论坛节目，我是程曦。今天我们有幸请到 Adam Elner。Adam 是环境保护咨询组织 Full Cycle Environment 的项目经理，也是 Renton 市 Shift Green 项目的负责人之一。他在循环经济和社区领导方面有很多的经验，他也是一个环保的主义的一个倡导者。我们刚刚谈到了 Adam 从求学在斯坦福没有上过任何计算机相关的课程，并且选择了环境保护这条路的一些经历，同时他也跟我们介绍了他在实习经历阶段和他现在做的一些职业上的选择的心路历程。那现在 Adam 是在 Renton 市市政府做一个机油回收相关的项目，叫做 Shift Green。 这是一个可以帮助这个市区的人更好的减少机油对于环境污染的一个很重要的一个从市政府组织的一个环保项目。那 Adam 是通过 Full Circle Environment 这个咨询公司或者咨询组织在帮助 Renton 市政府做这件事情。我们来问问关于 Shift Green 项目的一些事情。Now Adam, tell us about Shift Green, the program, its goals, its impacts on the environment.
Yeah, thanks. I realize we haven't actually talked about that program yet, so it's good to get into that. So this program is something that the city of Renton is putting on to encourage the recycling and collection of used motor oil and motor oil filters, and from people who change their own oil at home. So a lot of people take their vehicle into a shop to get an oil change, and those shops do a great job at capturing the used oil and recycling it along with the metal filters, if there's a metal oil filter that can be recycled. And so this program is all about trying to make sure and encourage that all of the other oil that's happening, that's being collected through do-it-yourselfers, I guess, is being brought back to the auto parts stores around who can collect and recycle that oil and filters.
Shift Green 这个项目本质上就是一个机油回收项目，是因为我们大部分人一般去换机油的时候会去这个4S店或者维修店。一般的来说，如果说汽车公司已经把机油帮你换好了的话，那他们会有一个系统的回收的一个工程或者是一个流程。但是对于如果是你在自己家里面换机油的这些同仁来说，实际上机油如果处置不好的话，其实是会对环境产生非常非常大的污染的，因为里面有很多重金属。同时不仅仅是机油本身，对于机油的这个过滤器，是一个金属的过滤器来说，其实也是一个很值得回收的东西。Now, thank you, Adam, for the introduction. Tell us about how this program has been going and what are some of the impacts that you have been seeing. One personal angle of this is I usually don't change my own motor oil, but I'm curious to know, like, how much percent of people do their own oil change, and then how has that been impacting, I guess, our environment, and then good or bad and ugly?
Yeah. So I think it used to be very common practice for people to just pour their used oil in their backyard or throw it in the garbage. And over the years, you know, as science has gotten better and there's been more of a focus on environmental protection, we've realized how damaging motor oil is to pollute water, surface water. And in particular, we have a lot of sensitive ecosystems around Renton and the Pacific Northwest, and the salmon as such an important cultural, economic, just element to our way of life around here. And so there's been more and more of a focus on these types of projects to preserve that. And so these days people are generally pretty good. They don't really throw it in their yard anymore, which is great because everyone does want to protect the environment. And we're seeing that happen over the last few years. We've measured a lot of oil being returned to these auto parts stores, which is very encouraging.
What are the elements or pollutants in motor oil that's especially bad for water body and salmon?
Yeah, I mean, I can't explain the toxicology or the chemistry behind it, but I know that it is toxic in very small concentrations, and it's very easily runs off into our rivers and lakes. And so it is very damaging in that sense. But in terms of the science of the specific harms that it has on salmon, I'm not sure, but it's a very, it's a high cause for concern. It's something that the government tightly regulates.
Got it. Okay. 我刚问 Adam 说Chief Green 这个项目对于下图地区或者 Renton 这个市来说究竟有什么样的影响，或者说为什么我们要这么重视这件事情。他回答说是因为 motor oil 其实毒性很高，而且是在如果不是处理的好的话，如果进入了水体的话，对于水中的鱼类会很大的影响。那自然而然对于 Renton 或者等对于整一个下图地区来说，有一个好的水体的质量对于整个的生态环境的保护是非常非常重要的一件事情，并且曾经自己换机油这件事情其实是一件很普遍的事，那就更加的有必要说我们有一个有组织的去回收这些机油啊，这样的话我们才能够更好的保护我们这边珍贵的一些水生动物。You talked a little bit about salmon. You talked a little bit about protecting the water bodies. What about the effect that this program have on community engagement, on educating people about the bigger idea behind recycling motor oil? What about, you know, generally recycling and the idea of circular economy? What's been your observations?
Yeah, that's a really great point, because while a lot of people do care about protecting the environment and natural ecosystems, that isn't top of mind for everyone. And so it is really important when I go do this outreach and engage the staff at the auto parts stores and members of the community that we talk about all aspects of this program and a lot of the economic value that is generated by collecting the used motor oil and filters. And so all of the used motor oil gets collected and used to, use as ship fuel, essentially. And so it's a valuable resource in that sense. And then the metal filters is very recyclable steel that can be recycled over and over and over again. And so these types of messages of really showcasing the economic value that these materials have and the need to preserve that value is a message that definitely resonates with a lot of people.
When you say ship oil, do you mean oil for ship engine? Or the fuel that helps ships to run?
Yeah, so the fuel, actually, they burn it. Yeah, they call it bunker fuel is the technical term. And it's not the cleanest source of energy, for sure. But if it displaces, you know, some new petroleum that they would have had to extract, then it at least provides a small environmental benefit as compared to throwing it in the garbage or throwing it down the drain.
我刚问 Adam 说，除了关于回收机油以及环境保护的这方面的一些直接的教育工作，他有没有在这个过程中也同时让整个社区的人对于环境保护和循环经济这件事情有更深刻的理解？他说的确的，因为在聊回收机油这件事情的时候，其实会跟居民谈到更多，比如说机油它的回收的经济价值，机油回收了以后竟然是可以被船作为燃料使用的，这是我们一般叫做 bunker oil 的一种燃料。那这个东西虽然说并不是一个很清洁的能源，但是实际上比起直接再从地下挖一点化石能源出来，也许也是一种对环境的一种保护。同时在回收金属的机油过滤器的时候，这个金属也可以作为回收资源的一部分。That's actually new knowledge for me, bunker oil. Now, we touched upon a little bit about the idea ofcircular economy. Can you explain what circular economy is and then walk us through, you know, how you have been dedicating yourself in this cause?
Yeah. So the idea of the circular economy, it's this vague, you know, kind of hand-wavy buzzword that a lot of people like to use. And it's really, you can't talk about with this, the circular economy without talking about the linear economy, which is the predominant way a lot of materials flow through our current systems, which is, you know, a product shows up, you purchase it at the store, it shows up in a package, right? You might use some of it or might come with some sort of packaging, and then you end up throwing it away in a bin. It might be a blue bin, a green bin, a gray bin, and then for most people it just disappears, right?And a lot of the stuff that cannot be recycled or it's not food waste that can be composted is just garbage. And it goes to a landfill, which is basically a big hole in the ground and sits there. It's just a one-way flow from the product manufacturers to the stores to us to the landfill. And so that's kind of the linear journey that a lot of things take.In our economy. And so when we talk about the idea of a circular economy, it's finding ways in that process to divert things from the landfill. How can we channel those material flows and create value by redirecting things back upstream to the product manufacturers so they can reuse some materials or repurpose them or recycle them to createThe same products or similar products.
我刚问 Adam 是说，我们刚刚有简要的提到一下循环经济这个概念，然后想让他解释一下循环经济究竟是什么。那他说，要聊循环经济，不能不聊的就是线性经济。线性经济就是我们更传统的对于制造业资源的流向的一种传统的范式。典型来讲，就是我们用从地下开采新的资源，然后让它去制造业去实行一些生产。然后用完了以后，用废了以后，这些东西我们就直接扔掉了，然后我们就把它给填埋。那这样子其实就没有再进入经济体进行循环的价值。那相反来说，循环经济就是当一个物件它的生命结束的时候，我们把它给拆开，然后把它的原始材料回收，让它重新进入生产环节，让它又一次进入了整个经济的循环。这样子的话，我们第一可以减少垃圾，另外一方面我们可以减更多的增加整个社会对资源的利用效率，同时也会促进经济的发展，因为原材料一定程度来讲它的成本是下降了的。 Now Adam, we cannot talk about circular economy without kind of setting the context of the US-China relationship and then how has the kind of the tension and release between the two countries has been impacting this area. There has been some policy change in 2016-2017 that has beenSending shockwaves to the circular economy industry and sustainability causes in general. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because this is a very important and impactful shift that occurred around 2017 that has tremendously impacted this industry. So for a long time, the United States was shipping recycled materials to China to process. So things that we were throwing in our recycling bins, they would get sorted at our facilities nearby into paper products and plastic and metal. And some of those raw materials were being shipped to China where a lot of product manufacturing takes place and uses those materials. And for a long time, the shipments the United States was sending were not always very clean. Sometimes 10% of the material would be contaminated. Or, you know, that's just an example number. I don't know the specific number. But it was a lot of stuff. There was definitely garbage that we were sending over along with the recycled materials. And so around 2017, the Chinese government instated this new widespread policy to make much more restrictions on the imports of these recycled materials to not tolerate nearly as much contamination. And the long story short is that a lot of recyclers in the U.S. could no longer effectively send their materials to China. And that created a lot of changes in the way we handle recycling here and in what things are and aren't getting recycled.
我刚问 Adam 的一个问题是，我们当要谈循环经济的时候，一个很重要的国际关系要谈，就是中国跟美国之间对于垃圾进口的一些政策。2017年的时候 ，Adam 刚提到，中国在2017年以前一直在从美国进口大量的垃圾。那进口这些垃圾的原因，其实是在进口可回收的这种资源。但是它有一个对于垃圾可回收垃圾纯度的一个标准，比如说如果我现在进口的是比如说铜的废物，那铜的含量在这堆垃圾的含量里面应该至少是 90% 才能够进口到中国，但是中国其实一直没有很严格的去执行这个 90% 的标准，其实有很多进口到中国的其实可能只有 20% 30% 是有用的，其他东西全部都是真正的废物垃圾，那些东西其实对中国的环境造成不好的影响。那2017年以后，中国政府决定说我们不再接受这种低标准的垃圾或者是被污染过垃圾，我们要严格执行超高标准的可回收物的垃圾的这种进口。那这是之后美国再进口到或者出口到中国的一些垃圾就造成了很大的阻碍，也给美国的垃圾回收企业和市场造成了很大的冲击。So, Adam, after the regulation, how has the U.S. circular economy or recycling industry has been coping, has been shifting?
Right, yeah. So it's important, I think, to explain a little bit more context as well, just about how recycling materials flow and how recycling works as well, to give some more context. And so everything we...as consumers put in our recycling bin gets sent to a facility called a materials recovery facility nearby where materials get sorted together. As I was saying, paper and the plastic and the glass, metal, they all get sorted into separate materials. And so those materials then get shipped to different end markets where they're being processed into new products. And so for a while, a lot of those shipments were going to China.And now, in the wake of this policy, these facilities and these recycling companies had to find new markets for these materials. They could still collect all of these same things, but at the end of the day, if there isn't a market for that material, someone who's willing to buy it back and make something new out of it, the economics doesn't pan out. It doesn't make sense. And so for a brief period of time, there was a lot of adjustments where certain materials were no longer able to get recycled because they didn't have a new market lined up yet. And fast forward now, all those changes have panned out and lots of new markets have opened up both domestically and in other countries. So it's kind of, we've been able to return to recycling all the materials that we were previously.
Would you characterize the shift as a positive change, both domestically and internationally?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to assign, you know, positive or negative on the worldwide scale of a change this big, right? When you think about all the impacts of shipments going back and forth from the U.S. to China, I mean, there's obviously a huge environmental impact from the transportation of all those things. And I cannot speak to the impacts that have been felt on the Chinese side as well, in terms of the materials and the processing of those materials. But from the U.S. side, I recently took a tour of our recycling facility in Seattle, and they say now 99% of the materials they're sending to be recycled are going to markets in North America. And so things are just generally staying closer to home, which I think in general would reduce the environmental impact of the transportation of those materials.
我刚问 Adam 说，那这些可回收的这些垃圾既然不能进入中国了，那对于美国来说是一个什么样的影响，或者它是不是一个积极的影响？美国这么多垃圾现在要去怎么样被处理掉了？那 Adam 说，自从中国禁止这些进口了以后，其实说白了，美国的这些垃圾要不然就要自己消化，要不然就出口到其他的国家。那实际上经过一些年到现在，有很多这些垃圾已经重新在其他地方找到了自己的买家，因为本身是一个市场行为，是一个供需关系。那曾经中国有很大的需求，那就都出口到中国。那现在如果说供给大量的有积压，那其他地方的需求可能也会去消化掉这些供给。实际上来说，处理这些垃圾的一些本地的设施叫做垃圾回收中心，那这些垃圾回收中心仍旧在回收这些可回收垃圾，只不过据 Adam 说，上一个次他看相关的数据是 95% 以上的可回收垃圾现在从在美国来讲都是流向了北美其他地方被回收掉了，那之前可能大部分都是进入了中国。
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤，请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健康健，祝您健康。电话206-621-7501 206-621-7501。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮。请您向具有 501c3 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话206-619-8698 206-619-8698。西雅图中文电台感谢您的支持。
观众朋友大家好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周五的专家论坛节目，我是程曦。今天我们有幸请到了 Adam Elner。 Adam 是环境保护咨询组织 Full Circle Environment 的项目经理，也是 Renton 是 Shift Green 项目的负责人之一，他在循环经济和领导社区进行环保活动方面非常有经验。我们刚刚谈到了他早几年求学经历，去斯坦福但是没有学 CS， 然后进入了环境保护领域，然后一直在公共事务领域活动，自己学了很多关于循环经济的知识。我们刚刚也讨论到了在西雅图地区中国2017年对于垃圾进口的禁令是怎么样影响整个垃圾回收领域的，得出结论是实际上大部分现在美国被回收垃圾都在美国或者说在整个北美自己被消化掉了，其实上一定程度来讲也是保护了环境的，因为垃圾没有被全世界到处运，然后这个运输过程本身可能就是一种环境的一种污染和一种损耗。那么现在继续再聊聊他刚刚谈到的循环经济的这个概念。 Now Adam, you have been working in circular economy basically your whole career, like in different aspects of this idea, and you talk about how this has been aVague idea, but let's give us some anecdotes and concrete examples of how this looks like, how circular economy looks like when it works, when it actually have a positive outlook to the society.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example that is a big focus of a few different projects that I'm working on right now, which is the idea of compost.And composting food waste and yard waste and other organic materials, organic in the sense of it being, it came from a plant or an animal, right? And so when done right, this is a very circular system. It's the food that is left over, from our plate or the peels, the shells, the bones all go to the compost facility where it gets ground up and broken down at very high heat. And it essentially, they're able to turn it back into making soil that is used by local farmers and gardeners in our cities. And then that soil then supports the growing of more food that we then benefit from as consumers. And the cycle repeats, right? Because in general, I would say cities are very high consumers of nutrients, right? People eat lots of food, but there isn't as much food growing in the city. So there's kind of a net nutrient flow into the city away from our farm areas. And so as much as we can kind of return the flow of some of those nutrients to support the continued growth of more food, and that happens through compost collection and processing our food waste into new soil.
我刚问 Adam 说他其实一直在他的职业中都在从事循环经济相关的一些活动。那我们刚谈了很多大的宏观的东西，他自己的经历中有没有一些具体的事情让他觉得，哎，这件事情真的对环境造成了一些很积极的作用，或者是有一些很具体的 impact。 他刚提到一个东西是说他其实一直有在做这种可降解垃圾回收有关的工作。有一个很重要的一点就是我们在城市中住的人其实很多时候都是营养的或者说整体来讲这些土壤中的营养、空气中、食物中的营养的一些消耗者。那实际上我们是不是也可以通过某种方式，通过用可降解垃圾处理的方式去把这些营养和这些营养素还回到自然里面去。那这个过程其实就是我们在回收这些可降解垃圾，然后用一些比较高温杀菌的处理方式让它们重新成为土壤的这个过程。这个过程其实是我们比较能够可见的在日常生活中就帮助环境的一种方式。How has this program been impacting, I guess, in a tangible way? And what are some of the challenges and obstacles you have seen? Because I'm a big fan of composting, but after I moved from Seattle to Redmond, I still have the habit of collecting compost, but there's no way for me to really, I guess, organize them or, you know, dispose them in an organized way. So can you tell us a little bit about that aspect?
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll get access to the compost collection soon, because there have been a number of state laws recently that are trying to make it more accessible and require it to be done across more of the state that has the infrastructure and capability to do so. Because there are a lot of really important environmental benefits from this composting. There's kind of this idea of this nutrient balance, like I was talking about before, and maintaining the health of our soils and returning nutrients to the soil. But also a lot of the direct greenhouse gas emissions that come from the solid waste field and are emitted by landfills comes from food waste and yard waste going to the landfill that plant and animal material breaking down without any oxygen, and it releases methane. And so by diverting all of the organic materials away from the landfill and instead being processed into soil via the composting, it avoids all of those greenhouse gas emissions, which is a huge climate benefit. I saw one study that it was equating, you know, looking at ferry electrification, right? And the idea of creating new electric ferries and the climate benefits of that. And I think the benefits of composting all of our food waste in the state drastically outweighed the benefits of electrifying our ferries. So I thought that was a really interesting study that paralleled that.
And people would typically think, wow, electric ferry sounds super cool.
Right. It sounds
but,
more
but composting, yeah. Never
right.
Mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So 我刚问的 Adam 是说那这个可降解垃圾的回收项目是怎么样影响我们的环境的或者它的重要性是怎么样的他说实际上对于环境的或者说温室气体排放来说有很大一部分的温室气体的排放是由于我们填埋的垃圾在地下被降解了以后或者被微生物降解了以后会产生甲烷。那这个东西其实是除了二氧化碳以外的一个很重要的温室气体，它实际上也在给全球气候变暖做一个很不好的一个 加重的作用。如果我们可以把这些有机物、可降解的垃圾有组织的收集起来，然后让他们重新，第一是处理它们，让它们回归土壤的话，那既可以把这些营养素重新归还到我们赖以生存的这个土壤中，同时也可以去减少温室气体的排放。还有一个他举了一个很有意思的例子，是说之前很多人讨论环境保护的项目的时候，会谈到说华盛顿州要把所有的渡轮把它变成电动化的，但是这些渡轮其实如果真的即使全部电动化了，造成的环境保护的效益可能也不及我们只做一点点可降解垃圾的回收。虽然它可能不是那个cool and shiny 的那个很有趣的事情，但是它的意义其实很大。Now Adam, we talk a lot about, I guess, the social benefits of your cause, your work. My experience is in the business world, only in this world in general, like only things and projects and ideas with business value would be able to survive. So there's this element of circular economy and environmental production that is about making sure that the causes that we care about also make economic sense. How do you think in that context the growth of sustainability industry will happen, and where are some of the promising signs or ideas or startup sectors that you have been seeing catching your interest?
Yeah, that's a great point to make, is a lot of people focus on the environmental benefits of recycling and circular economy, but there are very real and important economic benefits to it when you really look at the whole big picture. And so when it comes to that, I think there are kind of two types of drivers that can drive progress from the economic side. On the one hand, garbage is expensive. It's expensive for us in our garbage bills. It's expensive for a business to pay to throw things out, for the company to bring it all to the landfill. And so avoiding that cost is an economic incentive, because recycling or composting is usually at a much lower cost to a business and to a consumer, right, through what you are paying directly for that service. So that definitely builds a lot of incentive to reduce waste, to not have to pay for garbage. And I'm glad you touched on the innovation side as well, because there are constantly new technologies appearing at the recycling facilities to be able to capture new materials and recycle them. There are new companies being created that can take these materials and use them in innovative ways to make new products and packaging. And so that there is a lot of innovation happening in that space that will hopefully be able to kind of continue aligning those economic incentives with the environmental benefits that they achieve.
Got it. 我刚问 Adam 说，我们其实讨论可回收经济或者说循环经济很大的时候，我们都在说这是一个社会福利的事情，它没有很多真正能够让一个企业或者一个组织盈利的一件事情，更多的是一种为爱发电的事情。那我自己是做商业的啊，我想问的一个问题就是，让任何东西要活下来，要任何组织要它可持续的长久发展，其实都要让它自己能够有盈利，或者说自己能够有一定的可以让自己活下来的资金。那在可回收经济或者说循环经济这里面，究竟有什么样的方式是可以去帮助组织找到这种盈利性，或者说是可以至少是维生的这种手段的？那他说了两个在经济方面的一个思考的重点，一个是其实在美国也好，在全世界范围内也好，处理垃圾的价格其实是不便宜的。那如果有任何的组织或者说任何的个人可以想出方法来减低垃圾的产出的量，其实这是本身就是一种降低成本的方式。第二点就是，其实有很多创新是围绕着怎么样可以更好的更高效的处理垃圾，并且让他们的利用价值变得提高。那有很多的资金也都在投入到这个领域里面去，所以他也看到了很多有趣的创业项目和一些比较有前景的一些事业的发展。Can you give us some more tangible examples, maybe in material science, maybe in logistical science, either startup you have seen or projects, programs you have seen? I think ShipGreen is as an example of that, you know, Full Circle as a company doing this type of work and also kind of being profitable in a way. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some more examples of this kind?
Yeah, well, I think I would love to highlight this program going on right now called the Washington Next Cycle Program, Next Cycle. And it's a business incubator program that's all about companies and projects getting started in the circular economy. And it spans companies that are trying to create new types of recycling using enzymes to break down plastics. A friend of mine is launching an initiative around furniture and repairing broken donated furniture and finding new homes for it, oftentimes in refugee communities, and stocking the homes of refugee families that don't have furniture. And so facilitating that donation also with a repair element of it as well, because there's so much furniture out there being thrown out. That is a huge part of our waste stream. And so, yeah, there are lots of other examples through this Next Cycle program, which is, I think this is the second round of it that's about to start in Washington. And they have tons of different project teams. So I'm really excited to see who all has applied for it and will be going through this funding and business incubator process. But I only know about the furniture repair one because my friend is doing that. But another great example I can give is the Refugee Artisan Initiative, RAI. Sorry if I didn't remember that acronym perfectly, but it's RAI. And they're based in Lake City, and they employ a lot of refugee and immigrant women in particular as sewers. And they create a number of different products such as handbags and backpacks out of really interesting reclaimed fabrics, used fire hoses from the state firefighting that they've repurposed the actual hose into new materials, burlap coffee bags that they sew into handbags and wallets. And there's another company called Metamorphic Gear that uses sailcloth and climbing rope and things like that to make these really cool bags and other products. And so those are some really cool, flashy examples of what we call upcycling in this world, taking scraps of materials that seem like they wouldn't have much economic value and really elevating that value and breathing new life into
it. 我刚问 Adam 说有没有什么具体的项目可以给我们介绍一下是比较成功的在华盛顿州这边的回收项目，提到了几个，第一个叫做 Next Cycle， 这是一个他的朋友在Nextcycle 本身是一个华盛顿州的一个创业孵化器，那这个其实就是通过一些奖金的形式去支持一些创业项目，让他们更好的可以去帮助环境保护。那他的朋友在这里面做了一个项目是家具的回收，把这些旧家具无论是直接回收起来再次利用，还是说把他们做成新的家具，然后主要是在帮助这边的难民或者说是有需要的群体去给他们提供一些免费的支持。下一个项目叫做 Refugee Artisan Initiatives， 是一个艺术创作的项目，也是帮助一些低收入群体或者是难民群体可以找到一份谋生的工作，同时用一些可回收的一些材料做一些艺术品，比如说用硝火栓的这个管子做一些装饰品，或者说是其他的一些剪贴画之类的，这样子可以给这些难民提供一点收入，同时也可以帮助垃圾的回收。第三个项目叫做 Metamorphic Gear， 是叫做装备重新焕发生机这样的一个组织。那他们也会用一些比较高强度或者是比较有意思的一些工程材料，比如说像帆船的帆去做一些新的创作，或者说新的一些材料的准备。他刚 Adam 提到的这几个项目都是一种我们称之为 upcycling， 就是向上循环的一种商业模式，本质上就是把一些价值相对来讲已经比较低或者说没有很大的重新利用价值的东西，用其他的方式让他们去重新焕发成机，并且提高他们的价值，这样子的话让他们仍旧在我们刚提到的循环经济里面占据一个更有利的位置，可以让更多的人享受到这个材料对社会的一些正向的影响。 Adam, let's talk about your career advices.
Sorry, I'd love to give one more specific shout out as it relates to one more example. One of the next cycle teams that went through this process was another initiative called Restaurant to Garden, which is focused in the Chinatown International District in Seattle and working with restaurants there to collect their food waste for composting. But they're doing composting at the Danny Wu Community Garden. Mm. And a lot of the members of the community, people who use that garden and live in the Chinatown International District, are using that compost to grow food in their garden. And so I wanted to highlight that as a really cool, really small scale, but really personal and impactful program that has emerged from this. And they're looking to scale up and potentially purchase new equipment to do what's called a digester, which is another type of composting process, and learn how to get more restaurants involved in that.
Adam 刚刚非常想要再继续介绍一个项目叫做 Restaurant to Garden。这个项目的特殊意义在于它是一个基于西雅图中国城的一个项目，它做的事情就是在 Danny Wood Community Garden 这个地方去有组织的回收居民和乡附近餐馆的这些可肥和可回收的废物，这种废物之后他们会重新像刚刚提到的让它变成土壤，或者说一些有对于土壤有营养的物质让他们回归大自然。那他们也在筹集资金可以更好的购买一些回收可降解垃圾的一些器材，比如说有一个叫做 The Digester， 这个东西对于西雅图的Chinatown 的 community 来说可能是一个很重要的一个资源。Thank you, Adam, for that add-on. That was a super cool project. I'm glad that we get more people to potentially know about it. I was about to get to your career advices for listeners that are interested in getting sustainability, interested in getting in circular economy, with your background in so many different aspects of the industry and then wearing so many different hats. What would you advise young people or people that are still in school to basically get into the realm, and then what should they start to think about?
Yeah, I think what's so cool about this arena is that you can approach these problems and try and work on these issues in so many different ways and from so many different angles. There are plenty of governments, both local government, county, state government, that have people focusing on improving the waste management systems. There are consulting companies like us that help these governments and other entities implement and design these programs. There are actually the waste hauling companies that handle a lot of the operations and collection and processing, but also do a lot of outreach and education. And that's where I got started as an intern with WM. And so there are so many different entities kind of working on this. And there are lots of private companies, by the way, that are focusing on improving their own operational sustainability, you know, like tech companies, Starbucks, groceries, lots of them have sustainability positions, right, of looking to improve internal operations. And so there's so many different ways. And so my biggest advice would be think more about what types of activities and what types of day-to-day tasks bring you energy in doing that work. Because I know for me, being able to get out in the field, having face-to-face interactions and conversations with people to talk about these issues and hear what they care about, that gives me more energy than just being at home every day, you know, doing more of the data analysis behind these programs, which is also very important, right? But it's just not what energizes me and keeps me going. So my advice would be find which activities bring you that energy and then look around at all those different entities at the positions where you can do those activities.
我刚问 Adam 说，对于年轻人或者说在校学生，如果想要进入可回收循环经济这个领域去做工作，然后去做一些保护环境的事情的话，有什么样的方式可以开始？有什么样的方式可以开始学习，开始介入到这样的领域？那 Adam 回到他自己的例子是说，你第一件事情应该找到的是寻找究竟对你来说什么样是能够带来快乐的。 就对于他来说，他其实更喜欢去在地的人面对面的交流，去一些具体的社会的场景中，而不是待在自己家的电脑前面不断的敲代码。那他并不是说这样的事情不重要，这样的事情做数据分析可能也很重要，但只是说他自己可能更喜欢这种与人面对面的交流。那对于年轻人也是一样，找到你自己心中所想的，然后用这种方式去把自己融入到一份可以对接到环境保护的事业中，也许这是开始的第一步。Adam, thank you very much. Last question for you. What are some of the easy or first steps that individuals can start take to make a positive impact on the environmental journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people get very interested and want to know what is recyclable, you know, is this piece of plastic recyclable? Why is that other thing recyclable or not? And it's great to, you know, look at your local city guidelines to know what those items are. But the really impactful things that you can do are more related to reuse and composting the food waste and yard waste when you have the collection service available. So, you know, those classic things you may have heard, like bringing your own grocery bag to the grocery store, bringing your own cup to a cafe to use, just any opportunity to avoid what we call single-use plastics, usually, or single-use items, because those are the items that are designed to just be used once and go straight to the landfill. And so, as you can imagine, the quantity that we as a society are churning through those items and sending them to the landfill is just enormous. So as much as you can, I'll use my reusable bag 100 times instead of having 100 plastic bags that I've caused going to the landfill, identifying opportunities to reduce those items are really impactful.
我刚问 Adam 说有什么东西或者一些行为是日常之中我们就开始可以实行的。Adam 说比起你去做一些努力回收垃圾，你不如你现在就开始少一些使用一次性的使用的垃圾或者说用具。举个简单例子，比如说更多的用这种布面的或者说是可多次使用的拉钩带啊，或者说你自己有一些坏掉的东西自己修修，或者说不要轻易的啊买这种大量一次性使用的这种用具，这都是一种很好的进行环境保护的方式。